Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Good evening. This is Becky. I am the host of the Becky Bocamilla Book Club, Therapy Speak Network, Talk Live Radio Show. That is a mouthful, isn't it? I welcome you to the show tonight, and I am thanking you in advance for your listening support. My thanks go all of those who are currently listening and who will be listening to this episode in the very near future. My thanks go out to Dana P. Speaks, the visionary and creator of the original Becky Book Club, and to God, foremost. Tonight, I would like to speak to you about a woman whose name means completion. Is as follows. Though a married woman, she carried on with numerous love affairs, crediting her lovers for the gifts her husband had given her. Talking about brazen, oh my God. Her sorrow was to become the symbol of spiritual adultery, a picture of Israel's unfaithfulness to God. So this woman, whose name means completion, is a symbol of spiritual adultery and a picture, if you will, of Israel's unfaithfulness to God. Her joy is that her husband continued to love her, despite her unfaithfulness. And the reference scriptures for this woman whose name means completion is found in Hosea 1 through 3. The man stood at the door, craning his neck and peering through the half light. His limbs felt stiff and cold despite the desert heat. The still warmed. His limbs felt stiff and cold despite the desert heat that still warmed the narrow street. Other than a stray dog curled in a knot against the wall of a neighboring house, he saw nothing. It was too late for a woman to be walking the street alone. But then she wouldn't be alone, would she? He didn't want to go inside yet to listen to the absence of her chatter, to the lie down on the empty bed. By noon tomorrow, the news of her betrayal would fill every gossip-hungry soul swill in a pig's belly. Jose, the man who would steer the nation with his prophecies, couldn't even control his own wife. He felt grief and fury like a storm breaking inside him. He had meant to guard his heart. He had never intended to give himself so completely. His pain was the worse for loving her so well. For Gomer had squandered his gifts, mocked his tenderness, and allowed herself to be seduced by other lovers. Had God warned him and instructed him to go, take to yourself an adulterous wife and children of unfaithfulness, because the land is guilty of the vilest adultery, and departing from the Lord. He had named his children Jezreel, God scattered, Lora not loved, and Loaman, Loami, not my people. Each to successive child measured each successive child measured the growing rift between husband and wife. Hosea wondered whether he had ever fathered the last two. The word of the Lord filled Hosea's mouth, now troubled his soul, rushing back with appalling force. So this was how God felt about his own people, bitterly betrayed, cut to the heart. God felt about his own people, disgusted, outraged. His tender love, his every gift meant nothing to a people enamored with Canaanite gods. Israel's leading men were the worst whores of all, virtuouses, when it came to playing the harlot, cheating the poor, and imploring idols to bless them with peace and riches. But peace was elusive. Six kings had ruled the northern kingdom during a period of just 25 years. Four were murdered by their successors, and one was captured in battle. All the while, Assyria, perched like a vulture at its borders. If only Israel would learn its lesson and turn back to the Lord before it was too late. If only Gomer would turn back. Hosea wanted to shout in her face, shake her awake to her sin. Enough of patience, enough of tenderness. She had ignored his threats, shrugging them off as so many flies on a donkey. What choice had he now? He would strip and shame her, punishing her unfaithfulness. In the midst of his bitter grief, he heard the voice of God strong and clear. Go show your love to your wife again. Though she is loved by another and is an adulteress, love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods. So Hosea took back the wife he couldn't stop loving, and the word of the Lord transformed Lo Ruhama into Rahama, loved, and Lo Ami into Ami, my people. The story of Gomer and Hosea portrays God's jealousy for his people. For the first time, a prophet dared to speak of God as husband and Israel as his bride. But this is tangled, nevertheless, a love story, one in which God's heart is repeatedly broken. Despite his pleas, regardless of the threats, Israel would not turn back to him until after the northern kingdom was destroyed by Assyria a few years later. Still, the knit-together lives of Hosea and Gomer were a living reminder to the Israelites of both God's judgment and his love. Hosea's beautiful words still move us as we think about the church today, about our own unfaithfulness and God's forgiveness. I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion. Let us acknowledge the Lord, to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rain, like the spring rain that waters the earth. No longer Lo Ruhama. We are Ruhama, loved and no longer, lo ami, but ami, my people. For our Maker has become our husband, the one who hates our sin, but loves us still. In this story, the woman whose name means completion, and you will find this story, again, I say, in Hosea 1 through 3. Gomer is a woman who is blatantly unfaithful and just disrespectful to her husband, in spite of the love that he showers her with, the gifts that he showers her with. She is just horridly unfaithful. And she represents Israel. Israel is God's people. But there was a time that Israel was very unfaithful and pouring after other gods. And this story represents a man of God who represents a person who is in love with God and obedient to God, even if it means his suffering. And he went and married a woman who was an adulteress because he was ordered to do so by God. And he had children with this woman, as God instructed him to. And these were to become symbols of spiritual adultery, unfaithfulness. Even their names represented unfaithfulness. And so, again, Jose goes back and he takes her back and he restores her back to her rightful place in his life as his wife. And this all represents God, his people, their falling away and them breaking God's heart and him restoring them again and again and again. And in spite of all of the times that they whored after other gods, God still loved them, but he was hurt by and disliked the sin. Gomer's husband, Hosea, appeared on the scene the last of the prophets who spoke the word of the Lord. This is found in Hosea 1 and 1. To the doomed northern kingdom of Israel, before long, the Assyrians would conquer the capital of Samaria and take thousands of Israelis. When the book of Hosea began with the word of the Lord, it asserts Hosea's authority as a prophet, that God has spoken to him and that he must relay the message to the people. The Israelites in Palestine had the law God had given to Moses and the people at Sinai. This consisted of the Ten Commandments as well as the other rules for living, including in the book of Moses, Genesis through Deuteronomy. However, those laws didn't cover many of life's situations and decisions. God instituted the office of the prophet many times when a specific revelation of God was needed for the people to know what direction they should follow. We don't always know how prophets perceive their messages from God. At times, they had visions and dreams. Ezekiel and Daniel both recorded visions that contained a definite message from God. Other times, as in Hosea, the prophet simply declared that their words were from the Lord. The emphasis of God's prophets was never on the method of receiving his word, whether mysterious or obvious, but on the message itself and on the people's needs to follow God. God made it clear that if the people would only listen and obediently follow the word of the prophet, he would give them all they needed to face an unknown future. Just as God provided for his people in the promised land, he has provided for us. He may not miraculously reveal the path or supernaturally tell us his will, as he did with the Israelites, but he has revealed himself and his plan for us through the Bible, and his messenger today underscores and explains what Scripture tells us. We can be assured that God will go with us just as he went with the Israelites, holding our hand as we face whatever our future holds. Now, this story tells us that God still today is guiding us through his word, whether he's given men of God dreams and visions or revelatory knowledge in regard to expounding upon the word. He is still there for us today, loving us, guiding us, providing us with what we need. But that being said, what about those people who don't believe that the Bible is the word of God? What about those people? Do they also get their needs met through this word? If they don't even believe that the word is God's word, can they still too receive what they need through the word? Can they obtain clarity if they don't even perceive that the word is his word? A temptuous marriage, a wife who will not remain faithful to the husband who loves her, a husband who not only remains faithful but loving, children whose paternity is in doubt. All these are the elements, not of a soap opera, but of a wonderful picture of God's love and faithfulness to his unloving and unfaithful people. The promises portrayed in the life of Gomer apply not only to the people of Israel, but the people of today. God loves us and remains faithful to us, even when we abandon him and turn away. He waits with arms open. He only asks our repentance, and his blessings will again overflow. Jeremiah 24:7 promises, I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. They will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me with all their heart. Hosea 6:3 Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. This Hosea 1-3 is a grand story, if you will, of an unfaithful woman and God chose this woman for this man of God who truly was a man of God because he went into a place that he would never in his own doings have chosen a wife, because he knew the character of this woman. He knew that she was unfaithful. He knew that she had many lovers. He wasn't even sure that the children that she gave birth to while married to him were his children, because she had so many men that she was dealing with. But yet he was obedient to God, and he chose this woman knowing that she would be unfaithful, that she would try his patience, that she would test his love, and he would have to continue to draw her back unto himself, just as God does his people. God used this great man of God to demonstrate his love for us today, yesterday, and forevermore. We are to praise God for his mercy, because Hosea demonstrates the mercy that God has for his people whom he loved so much that he died for us. And though we are not faithful, we go after all types of seducing things and walk away from him time and time again, but yet he's always there with his arms wide open, waiting, desiring that we would return and love him and serve him and praise him, worship him, and love him far and foremost above all other gods. We are to offer thanks that God loves us before we ever thought of loving him. We are to confess any tendencies to love anything and everything other than God, to include money, pleasure, children, husband, career, anything that we love more than him. We are to confess it, and we are to ask God to increase our hunger to know him more intimately. Sometimes couples grow apart, not because either have been unfaithful, but because of sheer busyness. If your relationship with God is bogging down in life's detail, why not plan an intimate evening or weekend with him? Let it be a time of quieting your soul in his presence, of hushing life's everyday demands. Spend the day walking a solitary beach or hitting away at a retreat center or a friend's cottage or cabin. Take your Bible and a book of poetry by Christina Rossetti or Mark Bush Buchanan, The Rest of God, or C.S. Lewis, The Lion, The Witch, and The Wardrobe, or Kathleen Norris, The Cloister Walk. If you're artistic, bring paint and art paper, commune with God through the pictures you create. Let it be a time of praising him, of telling him how much you love him, of thanking him for all the ways he has loved you. Don't try to have a great spiritual experience. Just relax and let God know you want to be with him. Lord, how can I begin to understand how faithfully you've loved me? Draw me into your presence and hold me close. Quiet my noisy heart as we examine this story of Gomer, the woman who is an adulteress, blatant adulteress, who is married to a godly man whose name means completion. As we explore this story, we find here a prime example of how people who profess to be people of God how we behave with God, how we go off, how we allow husbands and children and careers and money and all these things and stuff to lure us away from God and demonstrating that intimate relationship with God. This story of this woman in the Bible named Gomer is a very, very good example of how we do God. We as people who say we love God, who have a personal relationship with God, we are back and forth just like Gomer was with Hosea in the Bible. We are whoring after this and that and the other, and we are hurting God. We are breaking his heart. We are showing our unfaithfulness repeatedly. And at the end of that story, it told us, it gave us a great example of how we could reconnect with God and enhance and give him that opportunity to enhance that intimacy with him by isolating ourselves, disconnecting from the pack, isolating ourselves and taking our word, the Bible, and some good poetry, some painting equipment if we're artistic or something, and just spend some time praising and worshiping and listening and talking to him and allowing him to talk to him and just loving on him and reconnecting in that deep, intimate way with him. It would be good for our souls. It would be good for our relationship with him. It would be good. Now, I know there are some out there who are presently listening to this episode of Becky Book Club, who will be listening to it sometime in the future, who might be right there at that threshold of wanting to reconnect, who might be desiring to have a deeper relationship with him for the very first time, or who might have had a deep relationship for years and have currently disconnected through a malice, but just because of life and stuff and desire to excel in some other areas, feeling we have mastered that area. And we have found ourselves having distance between us and God and feeling like God has walked away from us when he's right there waiting. Where you left him at, when you went away chasing behind those other things, you know, he's right there with his arms wide open waiting for you to return. And so at the end of the story of Gomer, I gave you a great example of a way to reconnect. Do a weekend. Do an overnight. Do something private, personal, on purpose to reconnect to God in that intimate, deep, sincere, honest, childlike relationship with your Father. Take the time. Make the time. Find the way. If it's important to you, make it happen. Just like you do everything else in your life, make it happen. For those of you who have never had that type of relationship and don't even want to go there, Godspeed. But I pray that I have said something during this time of sharing about Gomer. You can find that in Hosea 1 through 3. And I hope you can find something in there that will give you some idea about how you might be offending God if you have a relationship with him on a deep, intimate level. And if not, some way of causing that to happen, if that's something you truly desire. Because his word says, if you seek me, you will find me. Well, remember, you heard it here. on Becky Book Club. I am Becky G, the host of the book club, and I am here Monday through Friday night at 11 o'clock p.m. And keep listening, because when you least expect it and when you have absolutely totally given up on me, I will be surprising you with some grandelicious authors and authoress. All righty. Until tomorrow, good night all, and thanks for your listening support.